And while we're getting carried away, Joe, Jason Knight reminds me a little bit of young Roy Keane. But while we're in full buzz at the moment, I think I'll just throw that in there and heap unnecessary pressure on the show.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts
and download the OTB Sports app.
OTB AM with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
Alan Brogan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Adrian. How are you?
Are you a United fan or are you...
I'm a United fan, yeah.
Unlucky.
I keep it on the lowdown these days. Enjoyed the other night at least, but yeah, it's been a tough few months.
There's not been a lot to enjoy over the last while. What, before we get into it, what's your sense of what happens now over the next while? Poch and Rodgers and Brendan Rodgers are the two names that are mentioned in the papers this morning. Who do you want in?
Yeah, I think Poch is probably the man. I think he's the one they've been after for a while, isn't there? So I think it's a strange sort of situation though, isn't it? Thinking he might leave Paris Saint-Germain halfway through a season or even talking about leaving that club now. But it obviously shows the poorly United, and I suppose that probably is his dream job.
Yeah, it does seem a bit odd, but it does seem that all the indications are that whenever he's asked about it, he's not knocking it out of the ballpark in terms of his commitment to stay at PSG, and he's possibly briefing people in the background as well that he's out of there. So we'll watch that with interest over the next while. Alan, you're with us this morning. You're at the launch of Six Sock this week, a specially designed Dublin sock gift box. Premium quality knitted socks, cotton socks, it says in front of me here. I never had you down as such a sock advocate.
At this stage, yeah, you need something else. I've moved on from the football socks, so we're going for casual socks now. Yeah, look, it's a cool little collaboration with the guys down Six Sock. They're a Limerick-based company, and they've kind of made, if you're listening to have a look at the website, they're kind of mainly focused on retro soccer socks today. But I've done a little Dublin collection with them, kind of three pairs of socks, loosely based on some of the Dublin retro jerseys. There's a Limerick collection there as well by Declan Hallen. So it's a nice little touch. There's a little corporate social responsibility element as well. For every three pairs of socks that are sold in a nice little gift box online, there's three pairs of socks given to a homeless charity down in Limerick, or maybe one up in Dublin if we can figure that out. So yeah, it's cool. It's nice to be involved in it. They're online from this morning, so sixsock.com.
Yeah, that's lovely. A lovely initiative. I have to say, this morning at 9:15, it's an absolute delight to be in a way that it wouldn't normally have been in previous years to have two Dublin footballers on the line, or one former Dublin footballer on the line, given everything that's gone on over the last little while. Brian Fenton, and we touched on a little bit with Han earlier on, but Brian Fenton was with us last week, Alan, and he was talking about how this might be actually a good thing for the city to hit this refresh button. Are you having that?
That's the way we're trying to spin it anyway, Adrian.
I'm not having it.
I think honestly, losing, like, a lot of these guys have never even lost a big game before until this year. And obviously it was disappointing at the time, but I think when you look at it in the cold light of day in the weeks and months after, like, it probably does a couple of things to give the guys, as Brian said, a chance to refresh and to kind of find that hunger within again. And it also gives the management an opportunity to really put their own stamp on the team now. Like, it was probably difficult for Desi coming in, even though they won the All-Ireland his first year, to make any big changes, because the players had so much success in their gym, and why change something when it's not broken? But now, I suppose, in a way, it has been broken. So it gives Desi an opportunity to maybe try some of his own ideas, maybe move on some of the players that he might have liked to move on, and kind of bring in some fresh blood. And I think, as we saw with Jim over the last number of years, every team needs that, and needs new guys coming through and pushing the guys that are in the team as it stands. So look, it wasn't ideal losing last summer, but I think it'll have its benefits going forward. And look, close the throws, the championship wide open again. I think we saw Conor McManus talking during the week, did we, about how Tyrone winning the All-Ireland kind of gives everyone a bit of a lift, and that, right, Dublin can be got at, even though Tyrone didn't beat Dublin. And I think, looking forward to next year, Tyrone didn't beat Dublin in the championship this year, so I think that's a game that Tyrone will want, that they'll want to beat Dublin in a championship game, kind of knowing how ambitious that group of players are, and obviously the Dublin players will want to win that All-Ireland crown back. So it makes for a very interesting year next year.
Just touching on what you said there about Desi wanting to move on a couple of players, it made me think, as one of the older players on Dublin team, I'm like, geez, he's trying to get rid of the deadwood there. Maybe made a couple of your Dublin teammates, or your former Dublin teammates who are a bit older on the panel, a bit nervous, thinking they're going to be kicked off the panel.
Yeah, to be honest, I think most of those guys would know when their time is up anyway, and I'm sure, like, they're obviously very mature individuals and very experienced footballers, so they won't be afraid to have that chat with Desi and see where exactly they stand. And I'm sure kind of Desi won't be afraid to give him the truth. And look, every team moves on, every player moves on, and it happened to myself at the starting stage where you just know, right, my time is up now. I've given all I could. Was there another year in me, maybe sitting on the bench getting a few minutes? There probably was, but I was happy with me lot at that stage, and I'm sure the guys that we're talking about without naming them will know whether their time is up this year, or if they have another year in the tank.
Yeah.
What are the things that when you talk about it being broken, Alan, and in the context of the All-Ireland, anyway, what are the things that he'll be looking at, do you think, now and over the next couple of months in the lead into, and I suppose sampling around the O'Byrne Cup?
Yeah, I think unearthing a few new players is probably very important. We haven't really seen anyone make the breakthrough over the last year, 18 months, 24 months. And if you think back to, say, the likes of other special players, but the impact the likes of Conor Callaghan had, the impact that the likes of Brian Howard had, even the impact Niall Scully had, who wouldn't have been a name that was destined for greatness. But look at the impact he's had on that Dublin team. So it's about trying to unearth. Obviously, the likes of a player like Conor Callaghan coming through, like, you know, he's destined to be a superstar. But I suppose it's unearthing the next Niall Scully, someone like him that can slot into the team. And as I said, like, when Jim was in charge, he always tried to bring in one or two every year to freshen up the team and to keep guys kind of on their toes, or whatever you want to call it, whatever phrase you want to put on it. So I think that's important for Desi at the start of next year. And I suppose getting that hunger back, like winning six All-Irelands in a row, whatever, it's very difficult to, no matter what anyone says and no matter what the players say, it's very difficult to keep that hunger going for that period of time. Now they've lost the game, it does give an opportunity to find that spark again. And like, it really gives you something to, like, it's easier being an underdog or not an underdog, it's easier be going after something than to be trying to hold on to something. And I think those Dublin players, when you meet next January, when they get back training, it'll be easy to get that spark and to dig deep in training to go looking for that All-Ireland back.
Are there any positions particularly that you're thinking that need strengthening?
Yeah, I suppose a midfield partner for Brian Fenton is probably... it's probably important. I know kind of James McCarthy has filled that role well over the last number of years, but his I've always maintained his best position is wing back. So if they could find a regular partner for Brian Fenton, that would be helpful. But I think all over the field, like, a team like Dublin needs players pushing, players that have the jersey all over the field, and I think that's what Desi would be looking for.
Would you? Fenton was on with us last week, and the Dublin final was on in the meantime, which wasn't a great advertisement for anything, let's face it. Great drama, but the quality was not fantastic. Paul Mannion, I think his name is, seems to be doing all right. Fenton had said he dropped him a text. Would you have him back in there?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I know he's had a bit of a, and look, it's every man to himself. He's had a bit of a break now, but I think at his age now, he definitely has a couple of years left in him, and kind of, why not come back in? And again, Maybe watching Dublin lose in the All-Ireland last year will give him the bit between his teeth. I know his manager, kind of Kim McCudd, came out after and said he might be finished with Dublin. But like, I think a player of Paul Mannion's calibre, for him to step away so early and be done and dusted, would be very disappointed from a Dublin perspective. So I suppose as a fan and having played with him, I think it'd be great to see him back there. And I suppose he's the easy pick. And obviously Jack is the other one. I think if Desi could get the two of them back on board would make a huge difference. Obviously, Jack has big commitments in work now. He's working as a doctor, I think, I think he's in Temple Street at the moment. But I'm sure there's some agreement they could come to that they could get Jack back on the field come close to championship time.
Make some accommodations, essentially, for the fact that he's saving lives.
In a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. Jack's worth it.
Yeah. Cluxton is the other one. That ship has sailed, has it?
Yeah, it looks like it, unfortunately. To be honest, I don't know. I probably know as much as yourself about it from what we're hearing on the grapevine. I wouldn't even have a few texts with him, but I wouldn't even ask him about that now, to be honest with you. We'd be due to meet for our Christmas pint. I mean, we won't be meeting for our Christmas pints the way things are going, but I could have asked him then after a few pints.
Is he still drinking Blue Wickeds, is he? Is that not his his drink of choice?
I'd say he is. Fortunately, we're not allowed out late enough to be drinking the Blue Wickets now. It's pretty starting at half 11. True. But look, well, that's like, kind of, for me, like, Stephen's, like, again, he's his own character and he'll make up his own mind. But I think, like, the biggest disappointment for me in that is that Dublin fans and fans all over the country aren't able to give Stephen the send off that he deserves. like for what he's given to Dublin football, it's his decision to make, but it's just the way it's at. And that's probably the way he probably would have wanted it, to be honest with you. He wouldn't have wanted any fanfare or any roses thrown at him at all. So maybe that's why he's chosen it like that. But it would have been nice to for fans everywhere to give him the tributes that he deserves when he finished up. And
I do think that he's very, if he has made his decision and he is gone, I do think he's very content to leave it at that. He wouldn't want that recognition or anything else. You know, he played for Dublin, was undoubtedly the best goalkeeper I've ever seen. You know, I grew up watching him. I played as a goalkeeper underage, and it was him who you'd be looking at, himself and Cliona O'Connor. And like, he's been an incredible servant, and you know, I don't think anyone can fault him for actually going off and having a life. It's a huge commitment to play for Dublin, and you know, we just have to deal with that. And I think Evan Comerford stepped up and did a really good job for Dublin last year, and maybe we need to give him a chance and see how he goes, you know. And unfortunately for him, he's been in the shadows for a while, and he's a very good keeper in his own right, and you know, we'll see where we go.
Go on, Alan, sorry.
Yeah, I think you're right, Han. I think that for Evan, it's probably been a difficult enough 2 years with all this talk, and he's done well, as you said, but with all this talk, Stephen going on in the background, it probably hasn't been that easy for him. So I think next year is probably a big year for him, and that obviously Stephen will be gone. So he can kind of step into that role and know it's his own and kind of make it his own. But I suppose just on Stephen, so the biggest legacy Stephen has probably left is that young lads all around the country now want to be goalkeepers. if you looked at it 15 years ago before he started, no one wanted to be a goalkeeper.
I didn't want to be a goalkeeper, and I still ended up there.
And even some of the goalkeepers that have come after him, there's no doubt, and we've heard him talk about it, like Niall Morgan, kind of Rory Biggin, and these guys. He's inspired those guys as well, and he's just brought to a new level.
There's no doubt he changed the game for goalkeepers and the game of Gaelic and how it's played and everything else. And he's been a credit to Dublin, and we were very, very lucky to have him for as long as we did.
Listen to the two of you, it's impossible to get away from the thought that regardless of how good Evan Comerford is, the loss at Cluxton was an undeniable factor in the shortcomings, let's say, certainly contributing to the shortcomings of Dublin this year.
Yeah, maybe not on the pitch. Off the pitch, in terms of leadership, there was a couple of guys that maybe weren't in the dressing room last year that were there previously, and maybe that kind of had an effect on maybe bringing younger guys in and setting the tone of how they play or kind of how they assert themselves and stuff like that. But as you say, a player of Cluxton's calibre, not being in the dressing room anymore and not being on the pitch, it leaves its mark. Mm. Someone's going to step up and fill it.
It's a big challenge for Desi because there, obviously, a number of guys have left that dressing room over the last number of years, and they're not easy, as you say, they're not easy to replace. So that's obviously another challenge he faces. How do those young guys coming through kind of replace that level of leadership that the team has lost over the last number of years? Again, it's not easy, and every team is cyclical. As we know, you go through a great few years, and then you might have a barren few years. So sure, Desi's job is to make sure that the barren few years for Dublin aren't in the next few years.
It's just 1 year, last year.
1 year,
yeah. for the barrenness of a 1 year spell without an All Ireland. What's your just before we let you away? I'm interested about your thoughts on the sort of depth chart now heading into 2022 as to how you rank. Forgetting about how they finished, just your own view on the ranking of, let's say, 1 to 3 of the top teams in the country at the minute. Alan, you go first there.
Yeah, I suppose obviously championship changed teams, and if you look at Tyrone, they did have an exceptional year last year, albeit they didn't beat Dublin. So it's hard to look past them at number one now. Then obviously 2 and 3 between Dublin and Kerry. I think I'd still probably slightly favour Dublin over Kerry, so I'll go for Dublin 2, and Kerry just pipping Mayo at number 3.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Tyrone, well worth their win. Yes, they didn't play Dublin, and I'm sure if they meet next year, it's going to be a cracker of a game. But, you know, Dublin, we know the talents they have. They're definitely going to be up there to put them at 2. And Kerry obviously have some great young players coming through. And unfortunately, poor Mayo, I can't see that All-Ireland coming next year.
It's desperate. I presume you're in the same boat. Alan, Oisin Mullen gone.
Yeah, big
Colin
loss.
Boyle retiring during the week. Just it feels like there's just too many.
Lee Keegan versus the world.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, yeah, they have. It just looks like some of their tallies managed just starting to push on a little bit, and they don't look well. So there is a couple of lads coming through. I don't think the same quantity of players at that level is coming through in Mayo at the moment. And look, they might surprise us, but and look, every day they go out, you know what you're going to get from them. They'll always be thereabouts, but I think they're just a little step off the top three at the moment.
Yeah. All right. Well, look at sicsock.ie, sicsock.com, I should say. And you can head along there, as Alan said, for every pair bought. There is donation of a pair to a homeless charity as well. And you can head along to the website there to pick up yours ahead of Christmas. Alan, good man. Thanks a million.
See you, Alan.
Thanks, Adrian. Thanks, Hannah. See you later.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. Alan Brogan on the line there this morning. Interesting stuff on the Dubs and beyond as well.
OTB AM with Gillette. Proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.